Let's continue reading 1 Peter chapter 5. Now in this chapter, we have some final exhortations, and then we have the final greetings of the letter. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning now at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Once again, some background notes. In the final greetings of the letter, this letter of 1 Peter, there is the mention of Silvanus in verse 12. This is probably the Silas that accompanied the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. You remember Silas? He and Paul sang hymns of praise in prison at Philippi. That would have been more than 10 years before this time. Now here, we see that Silas is helping the Apostle Peter. Silas served as Peter's secretary or amanuensis. Silas wrote the letter as Peter dictated. And Silas probably delivered the letter to the scattered Christian churches to whom this letter was addressed. Remember the first verse of the letter? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In verse 12, Peter wrote, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Peter knew that when you face persecution, there is a tendency to question what you believe. Maybe some of you have questioned the Christian faith. Listen, this Christian faith is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Don't waver. Don't throw in the towel. Stand firm in it. Now, who is the she here in verse 13? She who is in Babylon. Is this Peter's wife? Well, we know Peter was married on the basis of 1 Corinthians 9, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul wrote, do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas, or Peter? So certainly Peter was married, and remember, the Lord healed Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew chapter 8. So the Apostle Peter, who some people call the first pope, was definitely married. But most likely, Peter's wife is not the she of verse 13. Probably, the she refers to the church in Babylon, since Peter is writing to the scattered churches, and also since church in the Greek language is a feminine noun. Now, the Babylon here may be the literal Babylon on the Euphrates River, or it may be a disguised symbolic reference to Rome. Remember, it's during a time of increasing persecution. Furthermore, we know that Peter spent the final years of his life in Rome, not in Babylon on the Euphrates River. Now, what about the phrase, my son, Mark, in verse 13? We don't believe this is some literal son of Peter named Mark, but rather John Mark, the spiritual son of Peter. Peter and John spent some time together after the death and resurrection of Christ. Peter discipled John Mark. This is the John Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Well, so much for background. Let's look at these final exhortations under our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, elders should shepherd the flock under them. Elders should shepherd the flock under them. Elders are the spiritual leaders in any church. The term elder is always used in the plural in the New Testament in reference to any church. In other words, the idea of one minister or one pastor for a church is unknown in the New Testament. For example, look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops or elders, plural, and deacons. We see here in verses 2 and 3 of 1 Peter chapter 5 that elders are to shepherd the sheep under them. As a good shepherd does not push his sheep or drive his sheep, but leads his sheep, so good elders will not lord it over the flock, but will lead by example. And notice that being an elder is a voluntary job. This does not mean that an elder can't receive financial remuneration for the work he is doing, but an elder should not be doing his work to make money. Elders are to do their work voluntarily and eagerly. I wonder how many church leaders today would be disqualified by these verses. Good elders do not always receive the recognition they deserve. But when the Lord returns, they will receive an eternal reward. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. It will all be worth it then. Elders should shepherd the flock under them. Doctrinal teaching point number two. Younger believers should submit to their elders. Younger believers should submit to their elders. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, the term younger men, which is used in some of your translations, should be translated those who are younger. That's really what it is in the Greek language, those who are younger. And that would certainly include both male and female. Elders are generally older in years, and younger members of the church should respect their wisdom of experience. The accumulated wisdom of the elders is extremely important for the smooth running of any church. But there's more here than just that. Elders have this spiritual authority in the church. This is God-given authority. It's real. So members of the congregation are to submit to the authority of the elders. We're not playing the game of church. We are dealing with the authority of God Himself, channeled down through the church leaders. So whether you're a teenager or older, you have a responsibility before God to submit to your elders. And they have a responsibility before God to discipline you if you don't submit to their authority. Now, I know exactly what you're thinking at this point. Yeah, but suppose there are elders that are no good. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 5 covers the subject of the discipline of elders who are not doing their job, and God Himself has ways of removing elders involved in sin. But that's not the point here in 1 Peter chapter 5. The point here is that younger believers should submit to their elders. Doctrinal point number three, all believers should be humble and alert. All believers should be humble and alert. The end of verse 5 on through verse 7. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The command, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, there in verse 6, could also be translated, allow yourselves to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. God hates pride, And he allows things to happen to us, which humble us, all of us. Having people fall asleep while you're preaching a sermon is a humbling experience. Permit me just to share this one little illustration. One of the most humbling experiences I had as a teacher was when a student raised his hand in class to ask me a question, and then he fell asleep during my answer. It may say something about my answer, that's for sure. It happened, it really did. Notice three blessings of the humble in these verses. Number one, God gives grace to the humble, verse 5. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So he gives grace to the humble. So you can handle whatever God allows to happen to you. Number two, God will exalt you. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you allow yourself to be humble, just wait. God will vindicate you and exalt you before others. Remember the story of Joseph. Number three, God cares for you. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. As you're going through your humbling experiences, you can turn over all your anxieties and cares to the Lord because he really does care for you. He knows. He cares. You can let him work it out. Besides being humble, all believers should be alert. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, we're involved in spiritual warfare. Satan, like a roaring lion, is out to devour us. Sometimes Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. But sometimes his approach is like the sudden charge of a roaring lion. In either case, we are to resist him by standing firm in the faith. Verse 9. Standing firm in the faith means putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Resist the devil in this way, and he will flee from you. James 4, 7. All believers should be humble and alert. Practical application for 1 Peter chapter 5. Remember, you're not the only one. Remember, you're not the only one. Verse 9 once again. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, some Christians have the idea that they are the only ones who are suffering in this world. Are you in that category? The point of this passage is that you're not the only one. So don't be proud thinking you're unique with your load of suffering. And don't be discouraged thinking no one else is suffering. Some Christians are undergoing far more sufferings than you are. Let God use the suffering to mature you and establish you and strengthen you and settle you, as we see there in verse 10. So remember, you're not the only one.